Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional. I'm Paul.
And I'm Karen. We know stoma and bowel and bladder issues impact the lives of those that you care for.
We're here to support your educational needs and help you in supporting your patients.
We're talking to fellow healthcare professionals and experts by experience to discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. Hello, my name is Karen and I'm here with my colleague Paul. It goes without saying that the last 18 months has been a challenge for healthcare professionals across the country. Education and professional development have naturally been less of a priority, but looking to the future, nursing education needs to be made more of a priority. In this episode, we will focus on education for specialist nurses, the impact of the pandemic, and how digital solutions can help in the future. I'd like to welcome Dr. Terry Porritt, Head of Ostomy Education at Coloplast, to today's conversation.
Hello.
And hello, Karen. It's lovely to be both of us together at the same time. This never happens. And welcome, Terry. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Really looking forward to our discussion.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining Karen and I today. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you.
We know that many specialist nurses are working independently or in very small teams. What sort of support is available for them when they may feel isolated in the workplace and also unable to access education appropriate to their level?
Well, good question, Karen. And I think that the COVID pandemic has identified quite how in isolation many specialist nurses or small specialist nursing teams work. Realistically, their support mechanism is the team and other specialist nurses that they work with. Most education and academic support for nurses is not provided from within the hospital. It's provided externally through universities, through associations running study events. So I think certainly conversations I've had in the last 6 to 9 months is actually specialist nurses have felt very isolated and they haven't known where to look either for peer support, but also they haven't been able to access education very easily because they no longer were able to travel and so were very worried about would they meet their NMC revalidation requirements for continuing professional development.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I completely concur. It has had a massive, massive impact on the emotional welfare, the emotional well-being of everybody working within the NHS. There's times where we need to move on. There's times where we need to reflect because we're in this period of immense acceleration, a place of turmoil where education has gone from a very much face-to-face. We're nurses. We like face-to-face. We grow and we thrive on that face-to-face communication. But that really has been removed from us. And we're on this real period of acceleration with the uptake of digital resources and the need. And, you know, what I say is thank heavens that the digital resources were there and we were actually able to adapt how education is actually delivered through the digital space. And that's kind of where I'd almost like to throw a question back to Karen as well, if that's okay. And, you know, where are you seeing, you know, how we as educators can or are moving in the future? Let's put COVID behind us. Let's put the pandemic behind us. Where are you seeing this nurse education? Where are you seeing how we as educators are actually going to be providing education to people in the future?
For me, this whole digital acceleration is key. And I know from practice, many nurses were hugely reluctant to engage with online digital tools. And I think the massive positive from the pandemic is that everyone is incredibly comfortable now using online education. I don't think it is a complete replacement, though. There is always a need for face-to-face education, but I think there's more opportunities now where we can utilise and really ensure that digital and virtual education really delivers its purpose. But it needs to be the right thing. I don't feel we should be doing it for the sake of doing it. It should be in the circumstances where it is
utterly the right thing to do and provides that clear advantage for people. But one of the things I was wondering about, that reluctance for many nurses and healthcare professionals, how do we ensure that no one is left behind? It increases accessibility for many people, but it also limits access for others. And it's how do we ensure that people have those digital skills? It's, I think people sometimes worry it's just another thing to do, isn't it?
That's an interesting question, isn't it, Karen? Because we've been at events recently where the talk has been around digital skills are an absolute requirement now to be a nurse. In 2021, you have to have digital skills. You have to be able to use your hospital computer system. You have to be comfortable doing things that 20 years ago we would write down. Now you have to use digital tools to record patient observations, to record your record of your care and interaction with a patient, to access their drug chart is now electronic. So to say that nurses can go, no, I don't do digital, isn't actually an option anymore. And it reminds me of the story when I was a student nurse. There was a bit of an uproar on the ward, and the ward sister was really upset because for the first time, nurses were going to give IV drugs. Until then, doctors gave IV drugs. And the sister and all the sisters, they had a meeting on our ward, and they were like, if we wanted to spend all day in the treatment room drawing up drugs, we would be a pharmacist. That's not the job of a nurse. And they really didn't want to do it. Now, no nurse would say that it wasn't an absolutely integral part of the nursing role. Whilst you're giving these complex IV drugs, you're having conversations with the patient, you're understanding their understanding of the medication, about their understanding of their long-term treatment. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which way you look at it, that is exactly the same with digital, that it's now an essential skill. So I think that for some people who do find the digital space and digital technology, they're not comfortable with it, then there is potentially something around us or their trust supporting them to become confident, as you would when you first give IV drugs. There is a training, there is a supervision. So I think it's the same. But I think that you're quite right. Not everybody wants to listen to a podcast. Other people are very visual and they want to watch an animation of a skill or a topic. Other people prefer to read and still like their yellow highlighter pen where they can highlight the key things of interest to them. So I think that moving forward, nurses are telling us it will never be all of one or all of the other. We accept that now. There are things that we can learn quicker and more conveniently in the digital space. And then we want to consolidate what we've learned with hands-on practice and discussion with our peers. So I think that we will never be 100% face-to-face and we'll never be 100% digital. And that's entirely right. There will be this hybrid journey where you can learn certain things digitally, and then you come together with your peers to discuss, to talk about specific case studies, clinical situations, and even practice those skills hands-on.
It really is that focus on the blended learning, doesn't it? You know, you have some people that say, no, you know what, this just isn't for, you know, I don't like digital learning, all those sorts. I can't get my head around digital platforms. I'm a massive fan of tools, of models, of cycles. I think there's a real place for them within nursing, and they really can emphasize the skill of the clinical nurse specialist. Take data, for instance. When you hear nurses saying, I'm scared of data, I don't like using data, data scared, you know, I don't understand it. And I always say nurses have always used data. You take somebody from A&E, you know, you don't expect the nurse handing over to you to say their blood pressure's low, their pulse is high, you expect them to say they've got a BP of 89 over 40, they're tachycardic of 140. You expect numbers. We don't think of that as data. We don't think of that, but it is. But it's at the fundamentals of what we do. When we're talking about different digital platforms, whether that is patient, you know, virtual clinics, whether that is education, there is very little difference between talking to your family over Zoom. It's taking it out of one situation and putting it into another situation and being able to have that period of self-reflection and saying, actually, you know what? It's not that scary. I can actually learn at my own pace in my own time. And I think it's taking the positives from the negatives of what's happened, I think, is vitally important in this situation as well.
And I think following on from that theme, I know in my previous job as a matron, if my wards were short, I would go and help out. And I would be limited by access to certain tools. So I couldn't give drugs because I couldn't access the pod where the drugs are kept. I couldn't do OBS because I couldn't put them in on the little iPad that we had. I didn't have a login. So there is already technology in use across a wide, wide range of everyday tasks within healthcare on the wards in practice. So I think it is, yeah, taking away that fear and thinking, yes, I didn't have to go on a training session to teach me how to use the Amazon website. I just worked it out and did it. And I think we just need to have the courage to do that in our professional lives as well, where people do have that fear. There's that sense of, oh, I can't possibly do that because I've not had a training session.
Yeah. And I think as we develop the, if you like, the portfolio of resources that we developed over the last 18 months, the vast majority are standalone webinar films. So for all intents and purposes, this is entirely catch up. You know, we would think nothing of going onto YouTube. If you've got a problem with your Hoover and you need to know how to do something, you put it in YouTube and you watch a short film that tells you how to fix your Hoover. So it's a mindset. It's about looking at these resources in the same way that we would look at them if we were searching for a film to tell us how to do something out of work. And these are digital resources for people to use as and when they need them in work.
And just a little reminder that, Terry, you mentioned online www.colloplastprofessional.co.uk. So again, all of the resources that and sort of things that Terry has just said is available on the website as well. So yeah, colloplastprofessional.co.uk.
And Karen and Paul, if I can just pick up, you've both talked about, you've both said on reflection or reflecting on. And obviously, reflection is a really, really key tool in our personal and professional well-being. But again, it's a tool that you have to learn to effectively reflect and process and grow from a situation. There's kind of stages in which you do it. Now, Paul, I know you love the Gibbs reflective cycle. Personally, I prefer something really, really simple. And certainly when I was first really reflecting as I in my nursing career and as I was changing roles, as I really began to reflect on experiences, on services that I was delivering, I started off getting confident with a really, really simple reflective tool, which was called the ERA cycle. And it's the most simple reflective tool available in as much as it only has three stages, Paul. It has E, experience, R, reflection, A, action. This was a really, really helpful tool to begin to become confident. And once I'd become confident, reflecting on an experience, reflecting on positives, reflecting on things I could have done better, things that I might not do again in future, and then enabling me to plan how I would respond and react in that clinical situation again in future. And that then allowed me to go on to use different tools, many of which, as you're going to talk about your favourite, the Gibbs Reflective Tool, with its much more detailed stages, actually is the basis of most QI, quality assurance audit tools that are used within trusts now. So, Paul, do you want to talk about Gibbs?
Yes, the powerful Gibbs. And I can remember it kind of takes me back to when I was actually training. And they really, really pushed Johns. And I just couldn't get my head around Johns. Loads of people did. Loads of people liked Johns. I didn't. I just couldn't get my head around Johns. I liked the Gibbs. But I never used to like Reflection. I had a real dislike, you know, I just didn't like Reflection. I didn't like the idea of Reflection. And I think we talk a lot about well-being and we talk about mental positivity and we talk about all these different things. And I think sometimes if you have a negative look or negative outlook on Reflection, you can turn that into a positive. And the thing I like about Gibbs is just that. When you're looking at it, it's, you know, it starts off with the description, you know, what happens. And this is, you know, again, it's very much similar to your reflective cycle, Terry, that you were talking about. But, you know, it's what happened, really, really simple to do. Then it talks about feelings. What were you thinking and feeling? And again, that is that thing of, do you know what? I felt like I was out of my depth. I felt lost. I felt that I hadn't been trained for this. I felt like I couldn't cope. And then evaluation, what was good or bad about the experience? That is where I'd like to say to people, you know, don't always focus in on the bad, you know, focus in on that good, have that positive. And it's for sometimes you need it for your well-being. Say, do you know what? I handled that really well. The analysis, you know, what sense can you make of the situation? You move on to conclusion. What else could you have done? You know, what else are we going to do? And then action plan, you know, if it arose again, what would you do? And I think that's what I really like about the Gibbs cycle. It's almost the foundations of nursing. And again, thinking back about when I qualified, you know, when I was doing my training, we spoke about API, assess, plan, implement, evaluate. It's the key to all nursing. It's what we're taught. It's nursing 101. And I think you can really put that into the reflective cycle as well. You assess, you plan what you're going to do differently, you implement it for the next one, you evaluate, and you just keep going in this cycle. And I think the key word there is cycle.
I did one a couple of years ago where I was going into a situation, I was investigating a complaint, I was expecting a very hostile situation. So I was dreading this meeting and it actually went really well. So that was my, why did that go so well? So yes, it is good to take those good things. I was not a fan of Reflection. I always used to view it as a chore that I hated to do. And I used to really struggle with it. Even during my training, I just felt it was rammed down our throats and I didn't really see the point of it. When I did my master's, there was an entire module dedicated to Reflection, which I just thought, oh, I loved it. It converted me. The key things I took from that is that it's a dynamic thing. It's not sitting down and filling out that form. And I'm a terrible person who I'll sit and fill in my forms 2 weeks before my revalidation date.
You leave it that long? 2 weeks? Come on, 2 days.
I think the thing I really learned from that is that we're reflecting all the time. Just because we're not sitting down and writing it on a template doesn't mean it's not happening. So you're constantly doing it. And someone also said to me, if it feels uncomfortable, it means you're learning. And I learned that if I'm in a situation and I suddenly think, ooh, in my head, I think, oh, you need to reflect on this later. And that was my, you know, it's a dynamic process that is happening regularly most days. And again, applying the things that you do outside of work, you reflect on situations that you have, you know, relationships with other people, situations you come across. You just need to do that in a similar way within your working life rather than turning it into this massive sitting down and writing a piece of paper. So yeah, I do write my reflections, I promise, because I do it properly for my revalidation.
Isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly the message we had at the beginning when we were talking about using tools in our work that we don't hesitate to use in our personal lives. And it's the same things that we would automatically do in our personal lives around reflecting what worked, what didn't work. In future, I think I probably would do this instead. Actually, why wouldn't we do that at work as well?
As nurses, we are so used to dynamically solving problems and working through situations in front of us that we are going through a reflection process as we do that. But we're doing it subconsciously. We're so used to doing it, we don't even realise we're doing it now. And that was one of the things I found. It's that being able to stop and look at what I did and know that I did reflect. I just didn't go, I am reflecting.
So realistically, if for listeners that aren't comfortable in the reflective space, then actually, as you've said, Karen, maybe starting off really simple with just three steps, just Google it, the ERA cycle. Think about your experience. Reflect on how it made you feel. Reflect on how you think it could have gone better. And then what's your action plan?
It is a vital, vital part of nursing, of sales growth, of professional growth. There are so many out there. There is a model out there that will fit everybody's needs and everybody's wants. So, it might not be Gibbs, might not be ERA, might not be John's, but there will be a model out there for people. So I know we've covered a lot of topics today, from blended learning to reflection, to personal reflections, to a little bit of personal history from all three of us, I think. So what I'd like to do is just, Terry, from all the things that we've kind of discussed and covered today, how do you sum it up? What would you say? What would be the big takeouts?
Well, I think without a doubt, my take home message around clinical nurse specialists is you have excelled and risen to the challenge of the pandemic. You have supported your peers. You've often had to work in areas outside of your clinical comfort zone, and at the same time have continued to want to engage, network, and share with your peers. And all I can say is that we will continue at Coloplast Professional to make sure that we're here, we're listening to what you're telling us you want of topics in the future, and we will be delivering those for you. But my take home message from all of this is that as specialist nurses, we are stronger together.
To echo Terry's comments, really, it is the outstanding flexibility and adaptability of specialist nurses across the country that we know so many have either remained with enormous clinical caseloads and attempted to keep their services running, or have ended up redeployed in an area totally out of their comfort zone. So just a huge amount of thanks to people and an appreciation for the situation that they've been going through for the last 18 months. I think we've covered so many useful things today. And I think for me, it's that sense of technology and not being afraid of it, and making sure we take those positive advancements that we've had over the last 18 months and really make sure that they work for nurses, that they genuinely have a positive impact on your working life, and harnessing that to the best of its ability.
So there we go. So Terry, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute privilege speaking to you, as always.
It's a pleasure.
So on behalf of all of Coloplast Professional, that's Terry, Karen and myself, thank you very much. Stoma and Continence Conversations is brought to you by Coloplast Professional. To learn more, visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk.